This one we call the love chapter because it does speak all about love. We just want to look at a couple verses and then we're going to kind of study through the New Testament about some other areas that the word love is used and how we can use it today. Look at verse number 12, if you would. Verse 12, verse 13. We're in 1 Corinthians 13, and here's what the Bible says in verse 12 and 13. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Let me stop right there for a second. What is the time that the Apostle Paul, writing here on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what is the time he's referring to? Is he talking about some point in our life here that we get this knowledge, that we understand more than we ever did before? And of course, as we get older, we get wiser, right? That's the idea. Is that the time he's talking about? That is not the time he's talking about. He's talking about when we see Jesus face to face. He says, now we see in a glass darkly. We see in the Word of God, but our flesh, all kinds of things keep us from seeing everything. And yet Jesus, when we see him face to face, will show us exactly who we are, even as we are known. Then he says in verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is faith. Is that what it says? The greatest of these is hope. Because man, where would we be without that? You know, interesting that the Bible says the greatest of these is charity or love. God's great love. I'd like to share with you tonight seven uses of love in the New Testament. We got Valentine's Day coming up, guys. We need to do something about that. And we want to do it in a biblical way. And we're all supposed to care about each other anyway, regardless of what day it is. Amen. And God says he wants us to have great love for one another. And I was blessed this morning. I pray for the Steels. The reason they're not here tonight is because they had met with the funeral home to set up some service times. And I can tell you, Saturday, March 1st, there will be a service. All the details will come out later, but that is the day that's planned. So please keep that in mind and in prayer and on your calendar to be a part of that. But I want to share with you seven uses of love in the New Testament. Before we go any further, would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us as we do. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love, your love for us, Father, even as the scriptures share with us the importance of it in our Christian life, in anybody's life. Yeah. And Father, now I pray as we study through some of these ways to put it into practice, Lord, in contextual ways, Lord, that you would help us to see as we go through this week, how can we apply it? Who can we apply it with, Lord? And how does it work? Using your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. May you get the glory tonight. Help us to answer those questions, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Seven uses of love in the New Testament. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. We'll start there. Luke chapter 7. And as I say, we're looking at these contextually, meaning how do they fit in the story of God's Word, the context as they're used in the Bible. Look at verse number 47 with me, please. He says in Luke 7:47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Remember the story here, this is, we referenced it this morning as a matter of fact, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anointing the feet of Jesus and sharing a great expensive piece of perfume. And yet the Bible tells us that she loved him much. And he even says that, she loved much. And why did she do that? Why did she do that? Well, because she had been forgiven. When she had put her faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus, forgiveness was the response of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, that still works today, amen? Yeah. We put our faith in Christ, our sins are forgiven. Yeah. And he says this is one way as we respond. And the point is, she responded with much love. This is love that responds to forgiveness. Adolphe Monod, a famous French evangelical preacher, died in 1856, and during the 1800s, early part of it, he was an evangelist. And he wrote this, or said this, as they say, before he died. He says, "I have strength for nothing more than to think about the love of God. He has loved us. Let us love him. These are the sum total of the ethics of the gospel." This is what God desires of you and me. And certainly that avenue of love is through Jesus Christ. Much love. Number two, Ephesians. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2. Do you have much love for the Lord tonight?
Yes.
I trust you do. God desires us to continue to grow in that. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's take a look. And in fact, grow to the point where we find our next use in the New Testament. Chapter 2. Let's start with verse number 1. Take a look. Verse 1, I'm going to read down to verse number 4. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Here's the New Testament words that we want to focus on here. Great love, great love. He says, "God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." This is that merciful kind of love. This is love that's not deserved, but is given out. Love that delays as well as shares when needed. Great love. I like how verse number 5 puts it. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath," what's the next word? "Quickened," quickened us. What does the word quickened mean? To be made alive, to bring back to life, or revive is another way to put it. "Together with Christ, by grace ye are saved." J. Vernon McGee. How many ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? All right, yeah, if you listen to Christian radio stations at all, J. Vernon McGee is probably one of them that you've heard before. And one thing he used to say is this: "To dwell above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know, well, that's a different story." That's why we need great love. Great love. God's great love to renew us, to revive us, and the kind of love that he used on us to draw us into his family. Much love, great love. John 15, let's go there. John 15. John chapter 15. We find another use. We find several points here in the chapter of John 15, but we're going to look at one in specific. Let me start with verse number 10. Verse number 10, we kind of looked at some of these this morning, actually, but we want to read down to verse 13. Just follow along, and I'll read for us. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." This is that greater love, the way that God puts it in Scripture, greater love. This is love shown by sacrificing oneself in the place of another. Who's the greatest example of that in Scripture? The Lord Jesus, of course, died for us all on the cross. It's a final act. It can not necessarily be the last thing, but it certainly leads to that, as one has greater love for another, sacrificing himself in place of another. The Bible tells us we need to have much love. We need to have great love. There is a greater love that he desires to see us grow to. But also, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 and talk about brotherly love. Brotherly love. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to start there in verse number 1. And just follow along as I read verse 2 says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. What would drive us to entertain strangers, to help them, to be hospitable to them? It's that verse 1, that brotherly love. This is love that can only be shared from a Christian with others. You have to be saved to have this brotherly love. In fact, it's the kind of love that God desires for us to share with one another as believers in Christ. Why does God want us to love one another? What did he say the world does for us? How does the world feel about us, according to Jesus? He hates us. Yeah, he hates us. So he says, you need to have at least somebody who loves you. And through my strength and my spirit and my power, God says, you can love one another. This is love that can only be shared as a Christian. A survey was conducted in the United States by a leading polling agency. Questionnaires were distributed to people of all ages and occupations. The main question was this: what are you looking for most in life? When the results came in, the analysts were surprised. Most of them had expected answers that would suggest materialistic goals, but the top three answers were this: love, joy, peace. Anyone recognize that on a list in the Bible? Those are the first three fruits of the Spirit. And even the soul that was without Christ understands the need for those things in their life. God says, as a Christian, you got them. Amen. Yep. They're at your disposal. Put them in good use. Let God use them in the lives of others. Brotherly love. Brotherly love. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's see, 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, by the way, brother, I didn't even know who was playing in the Super Bowl. That's not true, I didn't know. But I lost interest a couple weeks ago, as soon as Detroit decided to fall on their face. But hey, here we are. Regardless, we'd be in God's house tonight. Amen? Much more important to be here. Besides, if you got TiVo, it doesn't matter. So 1 Peter 1, let's take a look. And verse 22 is what we want to focus in on here. Let me start at verse 19. In fact, let's read those verses together. Verse 19 to verse 23. Verse 19 to verse 23. Would you read them with me, please, here in 1 Peter chapter 1. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So 1 Peter chapter 1 here goes through a whole list of things that we can do as a Christian because we have Christ as our Savior, because we have the Word of God. As he says here in verse 23, these are things that are able to be done in his power. And he uses the phrase love one another, verse 22, with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. Fervent means to stretch. So fervent love is something that is needed in the Christian life. This is love that increases as the needs of others increase. Love that increases as the needs of others increase. An 8-year-old wrote this about love. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love, she said. That's love. Well, we'll leave that at that, but praise God. Love needs to stretch. It does mean allowing yourself to move out of your comfort zone. Sometimes that means there's an effort to it that you usually wouldn't do. Maybe there's a financial part to it that you usually wouldn't pay. Maybe there's just a patience to it that you haven't been pushed to before. Fervent love, it stretches. It stretches. And God says you can do that because why? Because you got Jesus. You've got His Word. You've got direction through the Spirit of God. Fervent love. So, great love. Greater love. Brotherly love. Fervent love. And I'm missing one. Much love, okay. 1 John chapter 4. Let's go see another use of love in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 18 is where we want to focus on. Let me start with verse number 16. Verse 16. Reading down to verse 19. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Here we see the phrase perfect love, or complete. It can't get any better than this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. This is where we complete and totally depend on the Lord Jesus and God's great love. This is love that is complete and without fear in the relationship. No secrets, nothing to hide. Vulnerability is part of the relationship, even if it means we're going to share some things that aren't pretty. But God is gracious and helps us to exercise perfect love. Here it's in response to His love. God's perfect love, it can't be improved upon. And as we trust in Him, He can cast out the fear. Cast out the fear. How many have ever been afraid before? Have you ever been afraid about something you didn't know the answer was going to be? Yeah. Boy, I think about medical bills. Things about the house or the cars or the lives of people that we know and care about, jobs, sometimes that happens. But God says, with my perfect love, you don't have to be afraid, even though you have to go through some of those times in life. Perfect love, perfect love. Number seven, let's go there. Mark chapter 12. We saw how God wants us to use and put into practice much love, love that responds to forgiveness, and examples of great love. This is love that delays consequences. It's merciful, even though it may be necessary, it's still merciful. How greater love is shown. This is that sacrificing of oneself in place of another. Brotherly love, love that can be shared by a Christian only. Fervent love, love that stretches and increases with the needs as they increase. Perfect love, love that's complete and without fear in the relationship. Now we want to look at Mark chapter 12 and see neighborly love. Chapter 12, look at verse number 30 here. That's where we want to go. Let me start in verse 28. That's where the context shares with us. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Let me stop right there. So scribes and Pharisees get a pretty bad rap in the Gospels, wouldn't you say? We saw that this morning. Their goal was to look for faults in people and other places. It talks about them coming to Jesus, hoping to trip him in his words, etc. But here's a scribe who said, man, he sounds like he's got a good head on his shoulders. I want to see what he has to say about this. And so let me read that last phrase there of verse 28. He says, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Isn't that interesting? He understood. You know, even doing some of the rituals or following some of the lawful offerings isn't equal to these things. And when Jesus saw that he answered directly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. We're looking here, of course, neighborly love, where Jesus says the first love that a person needs to have is a love for God, the one true God who lives and who saves and who is active in our life. He says the second love we need to have is for our neighbor. Now, you know what he shared, the parable of the good Samaritan, to explain who the neighbor is. And who did he explain the neighbor is? It's not just the guy who lives next door to me. It's everybody. And in that parable, he shares kind of, especially those who we don't want to love, especially those who are not on our radar. This is love for those specifically who are near us, that we can reach out in our circles and care for. Love that motivates us to bring others to Jesus Christ. How many have ever gone to KFC? How many have no idea who KFC is? Kentucky Fried Chicken. I grew up, that was our treat, go to KFC. Man, my dad loved it. We don't eat it as much as we used to. I know you're probably thinking that doesn't look like it, but it's true. It's true. The one who started KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, his name was Harlan Sanders. And contrary to belief, he was never in the military. Why they called him the Colonel? Because he just looked like it, I guess. But he did write an autobiography. Harlan Sanders, he wrote this, that he was always a God-fearing man. In every venture, he gave God a tenth of the profits. Yet he knew that if he died, God probably wouldn't take him to heaven. The story goes that he was about 40 years old when he actually first sold his chicken out of his house or door to door. A lot of times it was door to door back in those days. And then about 25 years later, he was over 60 years old when he opened up his first restaurant in Kentucky. And now it's become worldwide. One day, he was walking down the street in Louisville, Kentucky, when Pastor Wayman Rogers invited him to some evangelistic services. Several days later, Sanders, who was now 79 years old, claimed the promise of Romans 10:9 and received Christ as a Savior. He said, when I walked out of the church that night, I knew I was a different man. All my tithing and good deeds had never given me the sense of God's presence that I knew then. Yes. Hey, this is the kind of love that God gives to everybody who receives it. Jesus Christ motivates us to bring others to Christ. This is that neighborly love. probably the kind of love that we all need to grow in. Amen. We could all do better in. I know I could, but God desires to work through us to draw others to Jesus Christ. Seven uses: much love, great love, greater love, brotherly love, fervent love, perfect love, and then neighborly love. Let's put it into practice this week. Amen. And I think you could find more. Hey man, the word love is all through the scriptures, but especially in the New Testament. Put it into practice this week, and not only on Friday. You husbands know what's going on Friday? Any guys around? How about Monday? Let's start then, amen, or even tonight. Sharing love with God's people and others around us. Heavenly Father, help us to, as Jesus said, to love others as he's loved us. Yes. We see some practical examples here in Scripture tonight. And now, Lord, help us to put them as a part of our life, our part of our walk this week. And we can even start tonight. We don't have to wait. We can do it tonight in our homes, with our family, with others around. Lord, may you get the glory through what we do. Perhaps there's an area of life we need to bring to you tonight, Lord. Whether it's just simply taking the next step, what you've shown us to do, or getting back on the right path, Lord, confessing and renewing. Lord, we know that can happen tonight. And I pray you would use this time of invitation to do that. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed, please. Would you stand with me tonight? I'm going to ask the piano player in just a moment to softly play the song. We'll sing in a bit. But when she begins to play, maybe God's spoken to you something about his love, how you can put it together through your life tonight, or something else. Would you respond as the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you? As she begins to play softly that song, we'll sing in just a moment.